That last song that we just sang, I don't know if Tony, if you chose that last song because of the title that I had given you of the a perfect song for all Tony really gets from me is he gets verses and the title of the message and a really brief synopsis of what the message is going to be. And oftentimes when he gets that on Thursday, it actually changes a lot between Thursday and Sunday too. So, but that was just a perfect song because there is just something about the wonder, and that's why I loved singing that song, and then I got to pray about it beforehand. There's something about the wonder that we have, that childlike wonder that is in us, and that's what I want to talk about today. So the information age started in the 1970s, and ever since then, like in every successive decade, it seems like the information age has just grown exponentially. They call it sometimes the digital age. It's called the new media age. There's a lot of different monikers that they give for the information age. But really, it's just an era where people are able to gain access to wisdom, to knowledge, and to information with incredible ease. I don't know about most of you, but when I was a boy growing up, if I wanted to get information on something, like if I wanted to know about space travel, I had to go downstairs into the bookshelves in my dad's room and grab out the World Book Encyclopedia, the one that said R on it, pull it out, look up rocket ship, and it would say something like, see space flight, put it back, grab the S one, go through that, and I might maybe get a page and a half of information, but it was the 1970 version of World Book Encyclopedia. So there was, by the time that I read that, there was already so many NASA missions that had taken place that I wasn't even aware of. I mean, it's incredible the difference from when I was a child and what we have today. But unfortunately, the vast majority of the information that we're flooded with today in this world, it is the world's wisdom and it's the world's perspectives. That makes us wise concerning the things of the world, but the wiser we are about the world, the harder it is to receive and to walk in all of the things of God, the supernatural things. The more I'm wise about the world, the harder it is to walk in and receive those supernatural things. Here's what Paul said. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 20. Brothers and sisters, do not be children in your own thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Now that word mature there, it means to be complete in your Christian character. It means to be complete in your development of your spiritual journey. And the illustration or the picture that it gives along with that definition is that of a telescope and an expanding telescope. We're supposed to advance stage by stage by stage by stage. And as we develop in our spiritual journey, we're able to look and see things that our natural eye can't see. Hey, baby. So we can see things that our natural eye can't always see. So we're supposed to be looking into those spiritual things and seeing those spiritual things as well. How do we do this? How are we able to obtain those things? Well, if I want to get a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God today, I have to continue to develop in my spiritual journey in Him. But I also, and this is what we miss all the time, I also need to become a little child in my heart before God again. Here's how Jesus said it. This is in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them babes. You know what? It's not my wisdom. It's not my ability to study. It's not my great intellect that allows me to comprehend Jesus and the things of God today. I have known, and you probably have too, I've known people who have gone through seminary and they've done all the studies, but they do not comprehend Jesus, God, and the things of God because it's not my natural mind and my ability to study. It is the intimacy that comes in Jesus Christ that brings with it an innocence, and with that comes this, which is best pictured in this. It is that childlike sense of wonder at the glory and the majesty of God and the things of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this little girl I know, I actually have a picture of her from probably 4 years before that. And she has that exact same, she has on a little butterfly outfit, so she's got butterfly wings. And it's the same thing. You see her from behind, and she's looking, and above her is a double rainbow. And she just stands like that. This is who she is. I got pictures over a five-year span. But that's what we should be. That's a picture of what we should be. Having that childlike sense of wonder at the things that are around us all the time. The things that are part of God's creation that we live in. His majesty that we just take for granted. Now, all of us would agree, we want to see signs and wonders today. We want to see those things. But it's the world that dulls our spiritual sensitivity, and it makes it difficult for us to receive those things and walk in those signs and wonders. It's the world that does that. But if I was to probably ask any one of you individually, and say, do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that signs and wonders are for today? Yeah, we would all probably respond with a resounding and impassioned yes. And we would say that we believe that we are ready to walk into those spiritual experiences. But are we? Let me show you something. And this is from a scripture that we've read countless times. This is Jesus, and this is in Mark chapter 11, verse number 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Listen, I read that verse and I realize I need to add a few more scopes on my telescope of my spiritual journey. Any volunteers? Anybody believe this verse so much they wanted to step forward and act out that? And listen, I will tell you, I've used this verse appropriately. I've used it to speak to the mountain of like sickness or debt or depression or whatever. And that's an appropriate use. It's a powerful biblical application. But me, Todd, do I believe that I could speak to a mountain and say that it would be moved? Do I believe that it would happen? No. But here's the thing. A child would. If you tell a child that these are the rules of life, and you tell a child that a child could speak to a mountain and be moved, a child would just believe. This is the kind of heart that we need to have again with Jesus Christ, that childlike heart that just hears the word and believes. We're very good at explaining away verses like this. I've heard people say that, well, what Jesus really meant when he said that was this. No, it's the word of God. It's his word. Jesus didn't speak this as part of an illustration. If you read this verse in context, it is in the midst of Peter responding to a supernatural event that he saw Jesus do. Because the verses that lead up to this, the day before they had come in, Jesus had cursed the fig tree as they entered into Jerusalem. This day they came in, and Peter's astonished that the tree, he said, Jesus, the tree you cursed, it's dead. He's responding to a supernatural. He heard the words of Jesus, and he saw the supernatural results. Listen, we don't have to think about this, but why was Peter astonished by that? Because when a tree dies, a tree can be dead. It's going to look alive for a long, long time. I can cut branches off of a tree. I can put them into the pile that I'm going to burn. If I'm going to burn it for a few weeks, all of those leaves are still going to look green. It looks like it's alive even though it's dead. But here Peter heard the words of Jesus, and he saw the supernatural evidence that it was dead the next day. So Jesus is responding to Peter's amazement and wonder at the supernatural. And you know what the words are that Jesus spoke just before that verse we looked at? The words that lead up to it are, have faith in God. Jesus means what he says. So when I hear somebody say something like, well, what Jesus really meant when he said this, or what the Bible really meant, alarm bells start going off in my own soul. Because I don't need, and you don't need, someone else to tell you what they think Jesus meant. Jesus just told us what he meant. I believe that Jesus means what he says. So if I'm not willing to put my faith in action along with his word, I need to develop more in my spiritual journey. And there's nothing wrong with that acknowledgement. I get excited when he identifies to me areas that I need more growth in. That's exciting because that means I know that there are more things, greater things coming. I get excited about those things, and we should be excited about those things. I need to continue to grow and develop in my spiritual journey. I need to develop my childlike sense of wonder at the things of God, the miraculous things of God, and have a sense of wonder about His word that He has spoken. I need to come to Jesus like a little child. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 14. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." How do I get this childlike perspective back? How do I gain this childlike sense of wonder once more? Well, there's many parts to that answer, but there's only one I want us to consider this morning, and it's this. Children have an insatiable sense of wonder at what they see around them. They have an unstoppable sense of wonder, and we need to reacquire that childlike sense. You hear me? We need to reacquire that childlike sense of wonder at the works of God, the miraculous works and promises of God and His Word. The brilliance of Leonardo da Vinci, who is considered to be the iconic version of the Renaissance man because he had gained such acclaim in so many different disciplines of life. The brilliance of Leonardo da Vinci is attributed in part to, and this is a quote, his sense of wonder. Leonardo, even as an old man, Leonardo da Vinci always had this unstoppable sense of wonder about the world that he knew God created, and he wanted to understand it. There's a story of how he was trying to, and we can even see drawings he's done. There's drawings he has of all these swirls. He's trying to figure out how water moves, how it would flow, how it undulates. And we hear a story about how he was watching water flow through a drain pipe into a ditch, and he wondered. And he did all these drawings trying to figure it out. How does water flow? If you have water and it contains space like a pipe, how does the water, because the outer edge of the water is in contact with the walls of the pipe, how does that change? How does it affect the flow? How does it affect the undulation? What is it like when it comes out of the pipe, and how is it different once it gets into the drainage? And he has all these drawings that he has done to figure this out. Nonstop sense of wonder. He had a sense of wonder about the circulatory system in the heart. We have drawings that he made of the heart and conclusions that he made based on his sense of wonder and his learning about anatomy. We have drawings that show us and things that he wrote. He had understanding about how the heart operates. He understood things in the late 1400s that medical science didn't establish until the 1950s. He was 500 years ahead of his time. Ed just had the Foundation for Life, just had their banquet this past Thursday. Great speaker. But you know what? Leonardo da Vinci would have been a great pro-life speaker. Because Leonardo da Vinci, we have drawings. He made drawings. He understood something that women in our nation did not understand until the last 15, 20 years with ultrasound. Because most women were taught that what's inside of the womb is just a collection of cells. Leonardo has drawings of a baby, an infant, inside the womb. It looks like he took a drawing of a picture that you and I would see today. He understood those things. Why? Because he had a sense of wonder, and God showed him and revealed things to him, which he will do for all of us. One of my favorite stories, if you're interested in Leonardo da Vinci, a guy named Walter Isaacson wrote a great book about him. And one of the things that Walter Isaacson points out is Leonardo da Vinci had a question, a sense of wonder about woodpeckers. See, you and I would see a woodpecker in a tree. We'd see him button his head against the tree. We wouldn't give it a second thought and go on. Oh, that's cool, and go on. Leonardo da Vinci wanted to know, how in the world can a woodpecker beat his head against a tree and not kill himself or do damage? Now, we know today that the force that a woodpecker uses to beat a tree is 10 times the force that would kill a person. So he wanted to know, how can a woodpecker survive? So sense of wonder. He delved into it. He did some anatomical work on some woodpeckers, and he found out that the woodpecker has a tongue that is 3 times longer than his beak. And so when he's not using his tongue, the tongue actually recoils back into his head and surrounds the woodpecker's brain. And so the tongue actually acts as a cushion to protect the brain as the woodpecker is doing this. You and I just look at it and say, oh, that's cool, and go on. He took the time and had the sense of wonder to want to know more, and he learned more. You and I, who have the Holy Spirit, how much more, if we have a sense of wonder about the great things of God, how much more will he reveal and show to you and I? The physicist, Albert Einstein, had an unquenchable sense of wonder, a curiosity. And he had an unstoppable sense of wonder about the world that he knew God created. He wanted to know how God created it to work. And Albert Einstein believed in what he called not just curiosity. There was a curiosity, but he believed in something called holy curiosity. This is a direct quote from Albert Einstein, and I want you to see it. Be a loner. That gives you time to wonder, to search the truth. Have holy curiosity. Make your life worth living. I don't believe Albert Einstein was a man who, he had the Holy Spirit in him, but there's no indication that he had the Holy Spirit alive in him. How much more revelation would you and I have? These are powerful words that we get from Albert Einstein. He is searching with a sense of wonder for the spiritual things, the spiritual applications, the spiritual things that God is doing. David expressed the same thing a little bit differently. Here's what David said in Psalm 40, verse number 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts towards us. No one can compare with you. If I should declare and speak of them, they are too many to be numbered. He's talking about the wonderful works of God. You can hear the sense of awe and wonder that is in David as he wrote those words. So what exactly is this sense of wonder? Well, it's interesting to read what the dictionary says about wonder. And I want you to see this also. This is from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. You look up wonder, it says, a cause of astonishment or admiration, a miracle. The quality of exciting, amazed admiration, rapt attention or astonishment at something awesomely mysterious or new to one's experience. That is what we need to have. We are his creation. He has created us, and he has put us in this creation that he made. He loves for us to know about the creation that he has made for us. I've shared this with you before. God has shown me, it's been my experience, that God responds to our sense of wonder with inspired, intimate, personal revelation. He loves our curiosity about his creation. He loves it when we're curious about the things that he has made for us. And if we will have a sense of wonder about the things that he has created, he delights in showing us things that otherwise would be impossible for us to ever know or understand. These are the things that he loves and delights to show us. I thought, wow, Holy Spirit speaking to us. So I know in my own life, when I personally demonstrated a sense of wonder at certain things, and some of you have been here for a while, you've seen the evidence of this. When I had a sense of wonder about geology and rocks, God gave me so many spiritual insights and understandings. I could see things in geology that had spiritual applications to them. When I had, and the many times that I've had a sense of wonder about different things about the physics of this world that he's created, he's shown me, again, spiritual applications like superposition or potential energy. There's a number of things that he's shown me. There was one time that I was really curious about light and rainbows. One of the favorite messages I ever gave was probably like 7 years ago on rainbows. And when I was just seeking it, I had the sense of wonder, and I wanted to know more, and I wanted to learn more. He showed me so many things. One of my favorite things is something you probably don't know, and nobody would ever tell you this. But in rainbow, and this is from science, this is not from Christians, there is a type of rainbow that scientists have named the glory rainbow. Most of the rainbows that we see, it's we're standing here on earth and we're looking up and we see it because we see the sun behind. The sun is coming through the vapor in the air and it's creating the rainbows. But when you get to a place where you are above so that the sun is behind you, like if you're on a mountaintop, sometimes if you're high enough on a mountain, you can see some of the moisture in the air and you can get this effect. Or if you're in an airplane looking down, you have the sun behind you and you see the moisture and you see a rainbow. It's called a glory rainbow, and it's not just a half rainbow. It's an entire 360 degree rainbow. And in every glory rainbow, and that's what they called it, in every glory rainbow, you will see the shadow of you. If you're standing on a mountain looking, you will look at that rainbow, there will be a shadow of you in the center of that 360 degree rainbow. It's God showing you that you are always in the center of all of his promises. He shows us that in a rainbow. So when you have a sense of wonder, he shows you and demonstrates these things. When I had a sense of wonder about his creativity and how he gives that to individuals, he showed me so many things that I've taught on. Just recently we looked at the Tower of Babel. Anytime that I have a sense of wonder about something, about his word or his creation or his majesty, I can see the delight that he has in sharing those things with me. And he will do the same thing for you. This is why we need to develop and again find our way back to that sense of childlike wonder, like that little girl. Childlike wonder at everything that he has established and that is around us all the time. If we want to see signs and wonders today, we have to develop an eye for the wondrous. There is so much of his wonders that are around us all the time, and we just don't take the time to see it. We don't take the time to think about it, ponder it, or meditate on it at all. We just see it, and we file it away somewhere under our natural reasoning of the mind. But as you seek, he will reveal. And that's the time that you can start to sense that increase of your own excitement to see the impossible done in Jesus. This is the sense of wonder, what the sense of wonder leads to. We don't believe for the impossible. I don't believe today, standing here today, I don't believe I can speak to a mountain. But I have a sense of wonder. I want to learn more. And he will show me these things. He will develop us and he will show us. So that's when we get that increased own sense of excitement to see the impossible done in Jesus. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? There's so many wonders he's doing, so many wonders he's established that we just walk past. We need to see it with a child's eyes and let him reveal his insights and revelations to us as we just seek those things. As we develop our sense of childlike wonder, we are prepared and trained to then see those supernatural things as well. Listen to this. This is the prayer that was offered by the early church. And remember, the early church was living in a culture that was much more hostile against them than even our culture is against us. But here's the prayer of the early church. Acts 4, 29, 31. Now, Lord, look at their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. What's our prayer, church? Amen. What's our prayer? Do we really want to see signs and wonders today? Or are we going to become? Yes, we do. But it's easy for us to become like so much of the rest of the world and even parts of the body of Christ that just say that, oh, you know, those signs, wonders, miracles, they just relegate all of that. Those are just acts that were done in the early church. No, we need to understand that there's even more signs and wonders that are supposed to be in operation today. But we've got to make sure that we are prepared for those things. And a lot of it comes from having that sense of childlike wonder. I got to get the adult version out of the way, the adult mindset out of the way, and let the childlike sense of wonder come through. We need to endeavor to cultivate that childlike sense of wonder at the marvelous, glorious works of God that are all around us. And you know what, that sense of wonder that is in you? It's in you because He created it within you. He created wonder in you. You experienced it as a child. You can experience it again today as an adult. And you know what, it's vitally important today, as we're closing off the church age, we're getting towards the end of the age, it is vitally important that we have that childlike sense of wonder, because that leads to our own personal growth, and it leads to the growth of the church as well. This too was evidenced in the early church. This is from Acts chapter 2, verse number 43. And a sense of awe, reverential fear, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messengers. The word that we see there is awe. This is what it means. It means to withdraw. It means to separate from. It means to flee. It means to remove oneself from. Our sense of wonder at the greater things of God cause us to withdraw from the lesser things of the world. Then we are positioned to be His vessels through which He can move and signs and wonders can be manifested here in this natural world. We need to have that childlike sense of wonder and replace that adult sense of, I understand these things. We need to look and be able to see the impossible and believe for the impossible. Do you think I'm going too far with this? No, this is, I firmly believe this is the joy. How much joy did you have as a child when you saw something that excited you and you could not get enough information about it? That's a childlike sense of wonder. That is what we need to stir up and develop. Hang around children for a while and you will see that. And it should make me say, I want that again. And the beautiful thing is, we can have that again because it's still in here. He created it within us. It is already here with us. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The more we withdraw from the world, the more the truth of that statement by Christ becomes a reality in our minds. Paul said that we need to be innocent. He said that we should be wise about that which is good, but simple concerning that which is evil. Childlike, listen to this, childlike, we become greater in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Childlike, we become greater in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 18, verses 1 and 3. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called the little child to Him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. If we want to be used powerfully in the kingdom of heaven today in this world, we need to become like little children. We need to come to Him like little children. We need to reignite that childlike sense of wonder that He created in us, that sense of wonder at all the things that are around us. Now, I recently saw a lecture by somebody who was not a Christian, but he was speaking about this very topic. He was speaking about childlike sense of wonder and how adults can have a childlike sense of wonder. And as he was speaking, he brought out this large box on the stage. This is in front of an audience. Large box. Set it down. And he said to the audience, what is this? And they all responded as we would expect them to say. They all said, it's a box. And he acknowledged that that's the response he uniformly received with every audience. It's a box. But he said he had met a small group of people who disputed that. And these were people who had explored deep space, the depths of the ocean, and designed impregnable fortresses. And they did all of this before the age of five. Because these were his kids. And when they saw a box, they saw something entirely different than you and I see as adults. And having that box, it reminded the speaker, he recalled a similar box that he had that also opened up a whole range of adventures for him when he was a boy as well. He remembered that box, but then he also remembered that when he was still a child, he later found that box up on a shelf in the garage. And he pulled the box down from the shelf and he opened it up, and it was a whole bunch of winter coats. The box was used to store coats. And he said that's the day that he understood the purpose of that box. And he said from that day forward, the box never became anything else. You see, as adults, we see things in terms of our own personal perception, our own perception of reality, our own perception of reality. And when we do that, we close off the imagination. We turn off our sense of wonder. We no longer are open to the possibility that a box could be a spaceship or a submarine or a fort or a castle. But children have no assumptions about the purpose of a box. And because they have no assumptions about it, that box is nothing but filled with possibilities. We see things with our own perception, our own perception of reality. And then we lose that sense of wonder about the greater possibilities in God. Wonder tells us, remove the assumptions. Wonder tells us, or shows us. Wonder tells us that we should be seeking after Jesus Christ for those greater possibilities. Wonder tells us to search those things. Wonder opens up our eyes to see things that we previously thought were impossible. But with a sense of wonder, we see that those things are no longer impossible. And that's the moment that we begin to consider the possibility that the kingdom of heaven can be manifested here in the natural world. That's the moment that we begin to understand that we can see into the natural realm or spiritual realm, and we can see ourselves. We can see that we are used by Jesus Christ, who will bring his realities into this fallen world as signs and wonders. But we have to remove our adult perception of reality and see things with a childlike sense of wonder at possibilities greater than we could comprehend in this flesh. How do we get that back? Is it possible? Yes. Is there any of that sense of wonder that remains in us? Yes. Yes, because again, he created it within us. And we need no more evidence of that than this common experience, which the world labels as a psychological phenomena. It's called pareidolia. Pareidolia is just when somebody looks and sees a pattern in something that is random. For example, I got a series of pictures to show you. Here's the first one. See, we know those are flowers or buds, but we see little faces of monkeys. Here's the next one. I don't need to say anything. You know what you're seeing. I love this next one also. It's like little Russian ballerina flowers. Now, my ultimate favorite one is this next one. I want that frame because what a way to start your day. If you can look and see a cloud happily waving at you to start your day, man, that is awesome. Or how about Aurora Borealis? Or instead, do you see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the dove of the Holy Spirit? Or even something as simple as this, just the grain work within wood. I bet Mark's seen a lot of different things with the woodwork you do. See, these things, they are not psychological phenomena. This is what God has created in you. It is the ability to have a sense of wonder at his creation and the imagination to see things beyond what we consider to be reality. This gives us the ability to see beyond what is natural and to see things into the supernatural as well. I have learned over the years, I don't know if you've learned it, just when I look at things, if I look at sometimes in carpet, in patterns in carpet, I can see images or I can see faces or I see things. Ceiling tiles. I've got some marble around my fireplace in my study. Has veins in them. I constantly see different faces, different images. There was a time during COVID, I was kind of discouraged, and I was sitting in my office, sitting on my couch, and in the chair next to my couch, there's always a blanket that is folded over a chair. And there was one day I was sitting on my couch, and I looked over, and the folds of the blanket and the shadows that it cast, I looked and I could see the face of Jesus turned and looking right at me. There was one time Donna was talking about hummingbirds and what a joy they gave. The very next morning, I got ready to go into the shower and the tile that was hanging there, again, the folds and the shadows, there's a perfect image of a hummingbird sitting right there. This is the sense of wonder. The sense of wonder looks beyond the tired, the weary, the crusty physical exterior. It looks beyond the physical and it sees what is new, what is what we can imagine, and what we can imagine he can do. He can show you. We've got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to see the mountain being moved before you can speak to it and believe that it's going to be moved. We've got to have a sense of wonder and learn to see those things. Most of you know this. I've got this, which is probably one of my favorite possessions in the world. It cost me all of 50 cents. But it's one of my most treasured possessions. Because it's a rock. It's a, what kind of rock is it, Lucas? It's one of, see, it's too far from the sea. It's a tiger eye. I know Lucas has some tiger eye also. I love this rock because I look at it and I can see two eyes, a nose, and there's this band that comes across. Tiger eye, when light hits it differently, it reflects differently. When I move it, it looks like two eyes and nose, and it looks like a mouth that is moving. And I love this rock because it reminds me of that verse when Jesus was about to enter into, make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And all of his followers were praising and worshiping him. And Jesus said that if his followers, if man himself, if the flesh of mouths did not praise Jesus at that moment, he said the very stones themselves would cry out. And look at this stone, and I'm reminded all the time, stone's getting ready to cry out. I need to make sure. I always remember. Stone is in my pocket. My hand feels that stone. I remember. I am a living stone in Jesus, and it's my responsibility to be the one that speaks praises to Jesus and speaks the gospel truth to people because I don't want the stone to have to cry out. I'm the living stone that does it. This is the sense of wonder that we can all have in things. We have to have that childlike sense of wonder to further develop in our spiritual journey, to have that telescope continuing to grow so we can see things that the natural eye cannot see, to see the supernatural and the spiritual things. Let's develop our childlike sense of wonder. Let's develop it so we can have a sense of wonder about the miraculous and wonderful things that are all around us. And if we will be like those children at the temple, oh, I skipped a whole part. Man, let me go back. I don't want to lose that part. So listen, all this is telling us it's time for us to make a choice. Because I got to choose on a daily basis. I have to choose, am I going to continue to live my life with an adult perspective of things? Seeing things only as an adult would see it? Or am I instead going to choose to have a childlike sense of wonder? Am I going to choose to be a child of God again? A child that sees with that childlike sense of wonder. It's a choice that we have to make. And there is a verse, it's a powerful verse. You wouldn't think of it in terms of what we're talking about today. But if you remember, when Jesus, right after he overturned the tables of the money changers, right after that, an incident occurs which really gives us a tremendous perspective on the difference between an adult's perception of reality and a child's perception of reality. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 21, verses 13 and 15. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna, son of David," they were indignant. Listen, the children, they were not limited. They were not limited by the adults' perception of reality. So witnessing the supernatural, they responded with joy, with praise, lifting up the name of Jesus. But the adults could not see beyond their own perception of reality. And so their response to the same thing was indignation. Which one am I more often like? We need to make sure that we are unveiling that sense of wonder that is in us. We need to make sure that we are opening our eyes to the supernatural things, believing for what is otherwise impossible. Because then we can be, if we will praise him like those little children did at the temple, if we will praise him, we open up, we stir, we begin to expand our sense of wonder. And when we do that, then Jesus is going to show you things that only he can show you. He's going to give you intimate and personal insights and revelations into spiritual matters and into his word. And when that happens, that's when we will begin to see signs and wonders flowing abundantly in this culture. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for what you have. You've given us, you created us with this sense of wonder. We remember it from when we were children, and we desire to have it once again. We know that it's in here. Let us remember, the next time that we're praying, the next time that we're thanking you, let us remember and just say, thank you that you are opening up my childlike sense of wonder to see more things. And in that time and in that personal experience, you will stir that wonder for things that you will guide us to because you want to show us personally. We praise you and thank you for this. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in a song this morning.